This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company.
Thanks so much for being part of this COVID series of podcasts that we're putting out from EmployCycle. This topic today is very timely, as a lot of companies are laying people off and trying to keep morale. So I'm really excited to talk to you about how companies can navigate company culture after layoffs. So what I would like to do is just get a little bit of information about yourself, and then from there, we'll go into the topic.
Okay, great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thank you. So can you provide us your name, company name, and what does your company do?
Sure. Harold Hardaway. The company name is Cargan, and we're an employer branding and internal communications consultancy. So we help organizations with culture work, whether that's onboarding, orientation, again, employer brand, internal brand, recognition, and engagement strategies.
Awesome. And where are you based, and what does your team look like?
Yeah, so we're based in Texas. So some of us are in Austin, some in San Antonio. So small but mighty team, lean. So there's three of us full-time, and we have contractors that we work with who are in different states. So 100% remote, and our clients are primarily based in Texas.
Okay. And what types of companies do you typically work with?
Usually large retailers. We have some banking clients, also utilities as well, and higher ed. So typically, a lot of the work that we do tends to be industry agnostic, right? And it's just kind of around the size of the organization. So, but primarily retail, banking, and higher ed.
Got it. So our topic today is navigating company culture after a layoff. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things to discuss is really differentiate between companies laying people off versus companies furloughing employees versus companies just reducing salary, and how all three of those situations can potentially impact company culture similarly or differently.
Yeah, 100%. So I think in all of those situations, the one thing you have to think about is that, and I always like to bring up Maslow's hierarchy because most people, you know, are familiar with it. It basically drops all of your employees to the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy. So people are all worried in all three of those situations about how can I feed my family? Will I have a job? Will I be able to, you know, have a roof over my head? So in all those situations, I think you really have to think and lead from a position of empathy and think about how folks feel in that space, you know? And so the first thing you really have to do is try to make people feel safe, you know, and answer their questions. So if you are having an actual layoff, you know, those people are going to start looking for jobs. So, but then you have to worry about the people who are left behind. If you're having furloughs, well, you know, that, of course, they're going to come back to the organization, hopefully. If you're reducing people's salaries at the same time, they're probably still being expected to do the same level of work, if not more, in some of those other situations. So the biggest thing that's hurt is trust in the organization and trying to figure out how we maintain trust. To your point, it also impacts morale, but you know, how do we recognize where people are and then move them up the pyramid before they can actually be productive? So all three, you know, drop people to the bottom to wonder about how they're going to be able to, you know, feed their family and support themselves moving forward.
I'm assuming in order to be in a position to have a good company culture and be in position to really help people navigate this after the layoffs, you would have had to not only had a good culture before the layoffs, but also laid people off in a way where people thought you were being sensitive to the reason of whatever was going on and that you didn't just send people an email and say, hey, you're fired. So
yeah.
Before we even talk about what you do after the layoffs, what should companies be thinking about doing as they're laying off people so that the remaining workforce sees the company as someone that they can trust and know that if they ever have to experience the same thing, they would at least experience it as positively as possible?
Yeah. So one of the main things is if you know that you're about to be in trouble, I think transparency is number one from organizations. And from what I've heard from clients and friends who work in other organizations, you know, right now they are having honest conversations about what the numbers are and what that looks like, and how that might impact salaries and, you know, employment levels moving forward. So if you can be in a position to give people kind of a heads up and be transparent, I think that's the number one thing you can do. If you've had to have a workforce reduction in some sort of way, the number one thing to, like you were saying, however you treat the people who you have to either furlough or lay off, everyone left sees it, and those are their friends, right? And they think, that's how you're going to treat me. So one of the big things that we always tell people, number one, is leaders need to be visible and present, and then communicate, right? So the number one thing you have to do is communicate how the decision was made, and to make it seem fair, because a lot of people end up having survivor guilt, right? Like, well, why was I saved, yet the people next to me weren't? And everyone needs to feel like that was done in a fair way. And when I also say leader presence, I mean physically being there. So I've heard of some organizations where the CEO didn't even show up on the day that the layoff happened, right? Or do any sort of communication. So physically being there is a big one and important to morale. Communicating clearly how the decision was made. And then I also think, you know, afterwards, you give it maybe a few days, but ask employees what they need and what their concerns are, right? Because you can never over-communicate. And in a communication gap, employees will fill it in, and it will almost never be in your favor, you know? So, and that's kind of the one big thing to really focus on. And then also after that, focusing on EAP resources, so employee assistance programs. So whether that's having someone to talk to, you know, in today's environment, people aren't necessarily getting together, you know, to do yoga and other things. But some organizations have made online resources available to people for health coaching and in how to manage stress in the organization. And those things are big. So there are a few others I was going to list off, but I'll let you respond to what I've said so far.
That's really interesting. I was reading an article the other day, and it was about hosting a webinar for people to feel okay. I think the name of it was "How Do I Feel Okay About Being Okay?"
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think about that, but it was interesting to see that apparently a lot of people are potentially feeling guilty about being okay from a financial standpoint, being okay from a job stability standpoint, being okay from a personal health standpoint, and not being affected as others are and feeling guilty. So I'm curious, how do companies manage that survivor's guilt for the people that are still there? What does that look like?
Yeah, well, you know, and honestly, one of the main things, like we were saying, is just giving them, and survivor's guilt, and I always love to tell people, the word survivor means you've gone through something, right? And the emotional toll that it's taking on you. So honestly, the number one thing is just having someone to talk to, open and honest communication with managers and the teams. And, you know, survivor's guilt isn't so much feeling guilty because you aren't impacted. I mean, you have been. So there is some sort of emotional trauma or something else that's going on. And so that's really the biggest thing, transparency. And then honesty about what is coming down the road. Because then that gives individuals an opportunity to make decisions, to kind of know what's coming. And what I would tell you about this is I had an HR leader in an organization, just like with the kids being at home, right? She was like, well, once they told me it was going to be an entire month versus me doing this week to week, I felt better, right? Because then I could plan for it. So that's really the biggest thing, transparency, being upfront. Emotional support for individuals. And then the other thing is we can start to redirect, right? So one thing is you have to help people feel and build their confidence and understand, you know, why they're remaining. You can focus on some growth and development for them potentially. But the other thing is from an operations standpoint, if we've had to have a reduction in force, people will want to rally and want to know how they can help. And so talking about the KPIs, that you know, performance indicators that leaders are focusing on and numbers that the individuals need to hit, and then, you know, how an individual in their specific role can help affect that, right? So the CEO talking about what we're looking at 3 months down the road, what numbers we need to hit to make sure we're all still safe and we continue to be safe. in our organization, and then your department head translating that for you. And then the other thing is, you know, having an ideation process. You know, so how do we bubble up ideas in the organization to tackle those things? And, you know, from a KPI perspective, I would say pick one or two, because people can't focus on too many things. And, you know, the research shows, you know, obviously after a layoff, productivity drops for 3 to 6 months. You know, but if we can focus on one or two things, people will want to contribute and rally as much as they are emotionally able to.
That's great. Any tips or advice for companies that are going through this now and trying to figure out how do we quickly transition from a place of looking at something that was bad and something that was ultimately necessary to quickly moving into a place of, all right, now let's get back to work without making employees feel like you're just trying to act like it didn't happen?
For sure. And what we always tell people is to ask, right? So this would be your focus groups, your pulse surveys. And what we find is that a lot of times employers will make assumptions about what they think employees need without asking them, right? And sometimes whatever you do, and when you ask them, the solutions that they give you are usually cheaper and easier than anything you would dream up as a leader yourself. And I have been guilty of that in past positions, right? And I've just learned if you ask quickly, it works. So, but when it comes to overall engagement strategies, you know, once you hear the feedback from your team, there's three things we always talk about: educate, appreciate, and communicate, right? So educate people on what the problem is and what they can do about it. Show appreciation, which doesn't always have, you know, cost money. And when you ask them how they'd like to be appreciated, and even in our focus group, still a handwritten note from the manager still means more than money to most people, you know? And then communication, you know, you can never over communicate, and then don't let the gap develop. Don't, you know, because again, people will feel that. So educate, appreciate, and communicate are the three things that people should focus on to help get, you know, their organization to move forward.
And then last question, and I have to ask, as a co-founder of an HR analytics dashboard, we're always looking to help companies better understand their data, especially now as they are trying to really understand their employees and make sure that they're okay. So what tips or advice would you give a company that, because you said something interesting, that companies typically will see a lack of either morale or productivity for the next 3 to 6 months, just based off of the traumatic experience that people went through in regards to layoffs. So how do you view your engagement scores, performance metrics, all of those for the next 3 to 6 months, and know that there should be light at the end of the tunnel, but that there's a rough patch, and don't necessarily be too reactive to those low scores now, because it hopefully will change in the future?
Yeah, like to your point, I mean, everyone can expect a drop. One of the things that we've done, you know, previously is you can kind of have an index on intent to leave. So whether or not you can take a look back at the people who left your organization over the last 12 months and what their, before any of this happened, and what their engagement scores were, right? And if you do pulse surveys with your population, you can sort of measure and monitor which departments are having issues or individuals. But, you know, you will see that dip. But I honestly believe if you continue to do pulse surveys, if you listen to your employee population and quickly pivot and react to what they're telling you that they need from an engagement standpoint, you can get yourself out of that J curve a lot faster. So I would say look back at past levels, see how much it dropped maybe after the first 30 days, because that's where it's going to happen. And then, you know, if you can do pulse surveys every like 60 days or so, and see how the organization is doing and how they're making progress, that would help. And especially if you're doing interventions along the way, you know, a combination of the qualitative and the quantitative data, I think will help you accelerate, you know, your path to improve productivity.
Thanks so much for taking time during this crisis, as we're all dealing with things on a very personal and professional level, and to be able to take some time and provide insight and advice to a lot of HR and business leaders out there. Really appreciate it. So I hope you, your family, your team, all of you stay safe and stay healthy, and really appreciate you taking the time.
Yes, thank you for having me.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.